now.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
And our special guest today is Jim Seligman, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Chief Information Officer. Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a real pleasure, Jason. Thanks for the invite.
We were talking earlier. You said you've been on the show before, so it's always nice to have people come back, but it's been a couple years, at least 2 or 3 years by now. So let's do some basics. I think a lot of people think of the mission of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, but I always find out when I ask this question, people come back with, oh, I didn't know you did that. That's my reaction. So from your end, give us the 1 minute version of what CDC does, and you know, maybe even surprise us with some of the mission areas that maybe people don't really think about what you guys do.
Since our founding in 1946, the first half of our history has been primarily focused on diseases. In fact, CDC is known as the disease detectives responding to disease outbreaks. But our mission now is much broader, and it starts with a fundamental monitoring of health of the population to determine trends and unusual spikes in illnesses, injuries, deaths, and really what the underlying causes of those are so that strategies can be developed and implemented to improve and protect health, prevent diseases, disabilities, and premature death. So it involves a whole range of activities, including behavioral choices that people make, exposures in the workplace and the environment, genetics, chronic diseases, and many other things.
You said the disease detectives, and of course, I couldn't help but thinking some of those TV shows that are out there. Not a lot of focus on CDC, but a lot of the crime dramas and think about everything that kind of plays into it. You guys probably hate those types of shows when you in terms of how things really work.
Maybe even more analogous is the show House, you know, where he's really a medical detective trying to figure out what causes people to be ill or diagnose what disease they have. And we do a lot of that as well. Unknown disease outbreaks, laboratory investigations, epidemiology that we do, public health surveillance to try to figure out what's going on in the population. Now, we get a lot of unusual specimens shipped to us from around the world where people can't figure out what exactly the disease is or the microbe is or what the environmental contaminant is that's causing people to get sick.
And obviously, you as the CIO is supporting all that technology that's really behind the scenes, supporting the health professionals, the doctors, the researchers that are doing that. So talk about a little bit about your mission, your job, your role as CIO, and how do you support the CDC's mission?
As you imply, it's quite a broad spectrum of activities. And my role is more like a conductor trying to orchestrate the broad array of activities and opportunities involving information and information technology, supplying tools, technologies, systems, IT infrastructure that support virtually every aspect of CDC's operation these days. You know, we recognized, well, as early as back in the 1980s when we had a information systems or an information study at CDC, that information is one of our primary products. Again, trying to keep the pulse on what's going on in the population in the U.S. and abroad, analyzing and digesting that data to identify what the trends are, what the problems are, what the opportunities are, and then communicating that information these days using a variety of methods such as social media, which we're very big into, to get the word out to individuals so they can make good behavioral choices, health choices, medical practitioners, policymakers, researchers, and many others.
It's interesting that you bring up the data issue because I remember about maybe 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago by now, it was this idea of, especially in, let's say, the DOD, the idea of net centricity. It's all about the system. And then there's this movement away from the system and to the data. How do we share the data? It's all about the data was one of the kind of keywords you heard a lot at conferences. The way you presented it, I don't think anyone realizes just how much data that the CDC really lives in and uses. How do you manage that? I mean, how do you as CIO make sure you have enough storage, enough ability to connect to the data, to share the data? That must be just something you spend so much of your time on.
Well, exactly right. There has been an incredible explosion, not just here, even though we're a good example of it being very data intensive. And we describe it as kind of our information life cycle. It's about collecting raw data from more and more so these days, electronic health records, health practitioners, and diagnosis of diseases in the health practice community, and then again analyzing that, managing it, and disseminating the results from all of that. And you're exactly right. The data storage and manageability issues and business intelligence on that data is premier, or one of the key things of what we do. Thankfully, you know, the IT industry and the vendor community has increased the sophistication of tools and technologies that make that much more, and decrease the price incredibly over the last years and decades in hardware and data storage capabilities, which has made it much easier. But as you indicated, it is really an explosion in this world in all federal departments, more and more data and more information and transparency that we're trying to accomplish, so that that richness of data can be repurposed by other consumers and other conveyors out there to repurpose it for other good uses.
And that was actually one of my questions, because the follow-ups, when you talk about business intelligence and data storage and manageability issues, obviously tools, the technologies get better, but so does the amount of data you're collecting. At one time, you know, getting samples maybe took weeks. Now they can do it in hours. Do you find that the tools are keeping up with your data management needs, or is there this kind of, like, for lack of a better word, game where every step you take to manage it, the data takes two steps more broad, comes more quickly, there's more of it?
Well, both of those are true. And one of our key goals that we're constantly working on is to compress that cycle time, so that, you know, we get closer to near real time in situational awareness or detection of events or trends that are going on in the population's health. The faster we can see that there is an outbreak going on, whether it's associated with a contaminated food product or an introduction of a toxic agent in the water supply or whatever it may be, the quicker we can then help the public health community and healthcare community respond to it and save lives and save unnecessary illness. So time compression is one of the key things. And as I was indicating earlier, electronic health record, electronic medical records, electronic health records, personal health records will all help do that. The technology isn't as much of a barrier as the complexity associated with standards and data interchanges and interoperability across a vast array and landscape of technology and systems, particularly in the healthcare arena, with so many practitioners and so many individuals being treated.
You hit the nail on the head when it comes to the challenge of technology, and you hear this often about from vendors, it's never the technology, it's the change management, or it's the other issues. And I know we could probably have a whole show just on standards and interoperability, especially around health records. But I want to jump forward a little bit, and we're going to get back to some of your key goals. But let's talk about your office real quick. How many federal employees you have versus contractors? What was your IT budget for 2010?
At CDC broadly, we have just under 11,000 federal employees, and we're scattered all over. I mean, two-thirds of them are here in Atlanta in our headquarters, but the rest are in places all over the U.S. and, in fact, now all over the world. In contrast, we have about 6,000 support contractors. In the IT arena specifically, we have about 500 federal employees and 2,000 contractors. So the ratio is just the opposite. We have more contractors than employees. On the spending side, CDC spends about $430 million a year for information technology, of which $130 million goes out to our grantees, state and local health departments and agencies, to help support their IT capabilities and information systems that are used to, in some part, supply information and data to CDC. So that's why it's part of our grant portfolio. And of the $300 million that we spend internally on technology and information management, about a quarter of that is for IT infrastructure, you know, desktops and networks and telecommunications and so forth. And the balance is for information systems and managing the data therein.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some about your priorities, including that big IT services contract you all just awarded. But in the meantime, you're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Seligman, the Chief Information Officer of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Seligman, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Chief Information Officer. Now, Jim, before break, we learned a lot about what CDC does, your mission to support it, and all the data you're dealing with. One of the big priorities you have, I imagine, is this new contract you just awarded for IT services. So give us some perspective of what the contract covers. Who are some of the winners? I think there's something like 30 winners, and it's worth like $5 billion.
The contract is an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract. So individual taskings are then competed in the contract. It lasts for up to 10 years and covers three major functional areas: information management services, IT infrastructure services, and management consulting. We really wanted a broad contract umbrella and landscape to cover the breadth of things that have to do with information management and supporting technology this time. In the past, we had done individual contracts in each of those kind of domain areas or functional areas. And so these three areas now cover just about anything and everything dealing with information, information management, and information technology. And in fact, we added in management consulting, since the vast majority of management consulting engagements tend to deal with information management topics or have information system implications. 30 different companies received awards, and nearly half of them are small business or small disadvantaged businesses.
What does it mean for the agency in terms of, does it consolidate several other contracts? Are you hoping to get some cost savings out of it? And does it really change the way vendors work with CDC?
Well, first of all, we're extremely excited about the contract since it provides such a ongoing access to a broad array of very capable contractors with deep talent pools. The contract is structured for ongoing competition on individual tasks, thereby keeping pricing aggressive and fostering and new ideas and innovations over the duration of the contract, which is 10 years or up to 10 years. The Information Management Services contract does consolidate two major previous umbrella contracts at CDC, plus numerous other individual procurements that were done under GSA schedule or other GWACs. And so in that regard, you know, it is a consolidation strategy, although it's not a requirements contract. So there may be occasions where program officials and our procurement office will determine that either something falls outside the scope of SIMS or that in spite of its breadth, there may be something that's particularly esoteric that requires a different procurement strategy. The other interesting feature of this contract, which actually existed in one of the preceding contracts, is that it's an open and enables the use by our state and local health department grantees. And we've actually had occasion where that was used in the preceding contract, which was called SITS in that particular instance. So as I was alluding to earlier, you know, much of the work we do is in partnership with and in collaboration with state and local health department agencies around the country. It's part of the information supply chain. Typically, public health surveillance is done by physicians and healthcare practitioners reporting diseases or illnesses or injuries to their local public health jurisdiction, who in turn reports to the state, who in turn reports to CDC. And so it's really important that many of those systems interoperate with clear data standards and similar technologies and so forth. And that's why we grant money to state and local health departments in doing such or to foster that. And so if they can take advantage, or to the extent that they need or desire to take advantage of the same talent pool, then we get a real big leverage out of that, you know, with the same companies providing services to develop systems and do data analytics, you know, at the local, state, and federal levels.
You said last time under SITS that was also used. Do you have any statistics or any data in terms of how often? Was it 10% of the time? Was it, do you have any dollar figures in terms of how much the grantee spent through SITS?
It was in the low millions. It was relatively modest, probably more like 1 or 2% of the use of the contract overall. And that was probably, you know, our of doing awareness raising and marketing of the availability of it. Actually, under our current CDC director, Dr. Thomas Frieden, he's made a very strong emphasis on rebuilding our outreach and partnership with state and local health departments. And in fact, when he realigned some of the functions within the agency in the last year, he created an office of state, local, tribal, and territorial services office specifically for that reason. And so we've already begun partnering with them on that outreach and marketing effort. And so as the contract starts to go into place now and we start to get activity under it, this will be one of the focus areas for us.
It's interesting that you guys went down the path of putting out your own vehicle. There's a lot of government-wide contracts, GWACs, out there now. Did you guys look at maybe GSA's Alliant, NASA SOUP, even NIH has the CIO-SP3, and obviously NIH being in HHS, you guys being in HHS, was there any kind of discussion around using someone else's contract instead of going down the path of having your own?
We certainly want to leverage existing vehicles where that's appropriate and advantageous, and in fact, we had meetings and briefings with GSA officials around Alliant. We had several engagements with NIH about partnering with them on their CIOSP 3 or 2 renewal. And in the case of Alliant, time we were engaging with GSA, they were in the protest state. They were uncertain at that time, you know, what was going to ultimately occur on that. And in that particular case, that's an extremely broad-based contract vehicle to serve the entire federal government or all kinds of different requirements. Our interest was making sure that we had high-caliber companies that were particularly focused in the health, public health, biomedical kinds of arenas and had expertise in that domain or that functional area. In the case of NIH, that could have worked much better. We met with them during our procurement strategies and early on in theirs. Turns out that the timing sequence didn't line up or align as well as it we would like. In fact, I think they just advertised their RFP now, and so it's going to be 6 months or 9 months before they make award, and that was too late in our time horizon. Plus, as it turns out, my understanding is their contract scope for CIOSP 3 is now mainly focused on bioinformatics and electronic health records and so forth, and that was narrower than what we wanted to cover in our umbrella contracts. As I indicated before, IT infrastructure as well as management consulting beyond information management services. So we've had a 25-year history of doing these umbrella contracts with CDC since 1986, and you know, we keep on keeping on in that regard.
All right, we're going to have to take another break. When we come back, I have a couple more questions about the big contract, and we'll talk about some of your other priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Seligman, the Chief Information Officer for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation. You can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Seligman, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Chief Information Officer. Now, Jim, before break, we talked a lot about your new contract, your SIMS contract, $5 billion over 10 years, about 30 vendors. This is a big priority for you, I imagine, but what are some of the other things you're trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months? Because you probably feel a little bit of relief that this is now done in the sense of it's awarded, but you still have plenty of other programs and initiatives I'm sure you want to try to tackle.
Certainly, information and data transparency is a very acute focus right now. Things like data center consolidation, continued expansion of the HSPD-12 smart cards. We're almost complete with the rollout of them, but now we've got to remediate all of our systems so that they exclusively use the smart card for authentication purposes and many other things in that regard. And no doubt the biggest one is our active involvement in electronic health records, health information exchanges, meaningful use implementation under both the ARRA legislation and now health reform legislation. So we have a play in all those arenas. Initially, in how we're involved in the meaningful uses, enabling data exchanges between the healthcare world and immunization registries. That's one. Secondly is biosurveillance and syndromic surveillance data exchange from the healthcare arena. And the third one is on electronic laboratory data exchanges from laboratory, in particular clinical laboratories and the public health arena. So in those three domains, those are the initial three where meaningful use criteria come into play in CDC's environment.
The health IT, a lot of people, when you think of health IT, you think of DOD and VA, and then you think of kind of the doctors, nurses, the hospitals, the healthcare providers outside of the government. But it seems like you guys are playing a pretty big role in the health IT arena because of the sharing of information and that you described meaningful use in those three areas. So the question is around CDC. You guys are working very closely with HHS and the Office of National Coordinator for Health IT around standards and interoperability. But how much does that then play into what is happening in the private sector as well because of that data exchange that you're talking about?
Our primary role is to make sure that systems at CDC and our efforts to help state and local health departments enable the data exchange coming from the private sector healthcare providers. So as you indicated, the Office of the National Coordinator is the preeminent organization trying to coordinate this across the entire medical care landscape and federal government. And there are many players, some that aren't, you know, necessarily thought of, like Social Security Administration and their disability program that relies on a lot of health data, and the VA and DOD, of course, and pretty much all the components of Department of Health and Human Services. And so we and many of our sister operating divisions within HHS work closely with state and local health agencies and departments to make sure that whole information lifecycle and supply chain enables and is ready to accept those health information exchanges from electronic health records, which again is perfectly aligned with CDC's goals of trying to shorten that life cycle or that supply chain time so that we can find out easier, less expensively, and much more quickly what's going on in the population's health.
Let me jump forward a little bit, because one of the things you talked about very early on in our conversation, but you didn't necessarily address in your priorities, is obviously that data management issue. Now, one of the things that you hear a lot about is cloud computing, thin clients, even Web 2.0, or a lot of people consider that kind of cutting-edge, leading-edge technologies. How is CDC kind of implementing some of those technologies to help manage all that data that we had talked about earlier?
In some cases, we're a late adopter of new technologies. In some cases, we're an early adopter. You know, it's hard to be early adopter or on the leading edge of all of them simultaneously. So in one case, for example, we've been a very strong leading adopter of Web 2.0 technologies and social media in particular. So we've been all over the map with adoption of Facebook and Twitter and podcasting and widgets and gadgets on the web and all kinds of things, primarily because it's where people are congregating. You know, millions of people are going to various social media sites, YouTube and many others. And so we're out there so that they have ready access to health information to help make good health choices or be able to find the information that they're interested in relative to their particular health challenge or disease or whatever it may be. We've been very heavy in virtualization, data center consolidation over the last 3 to 4 years, we've actually consolidated down from over 36 data centers to very close to getting down to 3 core data centers at CDC, so that we can be much more efficient, much more green, and have much better manageability over the data and all the services wrapped around that data. So the other thing I'd mention, I think you brought up, is thin clients and remote access. We have a very mobile workforce and a very growing population of telework users. And so remote access technologies combined with thin client is the way we've accomplished that and adopted to those trends.
So you bring up the mobile technologies. I got to ask, iPads or other tablet computers, you guys heading down that path yet?
In a test and research mode. The tricky part is that they're not fully FIPS compliant, encryptable, and so that prerequisite to work in the federal space with mobile data. So I'm sure that will come about relatively soon. But in the meantime, you know, it's more of an R&D effort right now.
And the other thing is, when you talk about Web 2.0 and Facebook and Twitter and podcasting, when you see an event, let's say a salmonella outbreak, do you see a huge spike in the number of hits your, let's say, Facebook page gets or your followers you have on Twitter? Or do you see more of a spike on the CDC's website more specifically? And how do you deal with that spike in terms of the load balancing and the data, and, you know, make sure you have enough bandwidth, things like that?
First of all, to answer the last question, we engineer to the knowledge that things, public health emergencies, crises, outbreaks will happen. And so we do see spikes anywhere from 4 to 5-fold increase. So our, you know, in the past, I don't know what the current statistics are, but in the past, you know, we've had an average visitation to our website of 4 or 5 million individual unique users in a month. But when we have an event like SARS or salmonella outbreak, it may go to 20 million in a month. And so we're already engineered on the internet link and the servers that support our website to deal with that. We also distribute the content through a commercial service around the globe so that no matter what happens, our information is still quickly accessible and distributed all around the planet. I don't know the statistics on how much spiking goes on in Facebook and Twitter and those other things, but I do recall that I was mentioning widgets and gadgets on a peanut recall, for example, and many other food products and other kind of outbreak situations. We create these little web applets that are readily shareable to other entities, whether they're commercial websites or federal partners, like the FDA, for example, or USDA. They share the same widget so that they don't have to redevelop that same content, and state and local health departments also pick it up. So there's one authoritative source, it's done once, and it's replicated in many, many websites around the country, so that the public gets, you know, high quality, timely information.
Unfortunately, though, we are almost out of time. It sounds like we could talk for probably another half hour. So let's just real quick discuss your background a little bit. How long have you been the CIO at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention? Where else have you worked, in or out of government?
I became the CIO in 1999. My entire career, except for a few months when I worked for the Postal Service when I was in high school, have been with CDC now nearly 34 years. I started out in program, in managing public health programs for about 8 years, but the last 25 have been in IT management leading up to my current position.
Very nice. On that note, we're going to have to say thank you very much. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Jim Seligman, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Chief Information Officer. Jim, thank you so much for joining us.
It was a great pleasure, Jason. Thank you for the invite again.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.